What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we're super excited to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to be doing a CTN, or Cruise the News, and this is where we kind of update you guys on the latest, juiciest pickleball news. So, are you ready to get into it?
Everything you want is right here. We gon' give them what they came for. We gon' take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
Yeah, let's hop right into it here. We actually have some breaking news. So before we get into our kind of three different topics of the day, it was just released this morning that YOLA has filed a lawsuit against USA Pickleball. And so if you've been following along with the previous episodes and just with the pickleball news in general, there's been a lot of drama in the pickleball world about paddles being delisted from USA Pickleball's website. Companies were told that the paddles were approved, and then they were unapproved or delisted. And so there had been rumors that YOLA was potentially filing a lawsuit. And as of the news came out today, but the lawsuit was actually filed yesterday. And so this is what the update says: YOLA has filed a federal lawsuit against USA Pickleball for actions related to the removal of its Gen 3 paddles from the approved paddle list. YOLA has maintained that the Gen 3 paddles that had hit the market in April are materially and structurally the same as the paddles that were approved by the USAP back in September. So that is our update. The lawsuit has been filed. Danae, any quick thoughts here?
Wild. So my quick thoughts are, this is pretty interesting because, you know, YOLA is it's a huge company. If you guys don't know, YOLA was previously in ping pong, and they are massive, have a lot of money. Obviously USA Pickleball is big for pickleball, but they have nowhere near the financial backing that YOLA does. So it's just kind of interesting because that money really is a power dynamic when it comes to lawsuits. And so it looks bad.
Yeah.
Looks bad.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting things I was thinking about is this, you know, again, this is a company that can come in with potentially the financial backing to kind of bully their way into certain rules being broken or certain rules being upheld. And I think that the reason this is a big deal, this isn't just YOLA versus the USAP. This is almost YOLA versus the integrity of the sport of pickleball. In my opinion, whatever happens here and whatever the repercussions are, it really shapes this sport moving forward.
1,000%.
Because if paddle regulations, I think what's happening is the governing body is trying their best to regulate paddles to protect the integrity of the sport so it doesn't get so fast. And honestly, obviously the safety repercussions that come with that. The ball playing faster, really changing the way the sport is being played. And so I think that's the big news here. It's not what happens between, you know, who wins the lawsuit, but it's rather what does that do to pickleball as a whole. So guys, let us know in the comments, now that the lawsuit has been filed, do you think this is good for pickleball? Do you think this is not good for pickleball? And, you know, what are your thoughts on what happens if YOLA wins? What happens if YOLA loses? So let us know all that in the comments. Do you have any other thoughts there?
No, I just think it's going to be really interesting how this shakes out. I also think that, you know, this is going to be really telling. Like, can paddle companies that have a lot of money just bully themselves around our rules? You know, like, I think
right.
It's just going to be interesting seeing how this, you know, plays out.
Yeah. Another side piece of that before we move on is that, you know, there are other companies that are now being delisted as well. Right. So Yola has been the big buzz just because, you know, this all, they had just released this new paddle and now it's deemed illegal. And so, yeah, but there are other companies. I know Vatic is one.
Rhombus.
There's a couple others that are starting to pop up as being delisted. So just interesting to monitor that moving forward as to what that means for the sport of pickleball and honestly how it's played. But yeah, I think that was, we just wanted to give you guys a brief update on that. We know we've been talking about and covering all the paddle drama in a lot of our episodes, but yeah, just wanted to kind of update you with that. So should we move to the next one?
Let's move to the next one. This next topic is going to be all on a couple of different items within the pro pickleball scene as of late. So if you guys do not know, pickleball does have a pro scene, and we just had a tournament. Was it Sacramento?
Yeah, Sacramento.
Sacramento, the PPA Sacramento tournament this past weekend, and there were a couple things that were brought up. And so I'm going to go into one juicy item to start us off. The PPA stream actually on their championship course, so the main court that they stream, is mic'd up on the benches. So if you don't know what that means, it means, you know, when players go to kind of their bench during like a timeout or even between games, the PPA has put mics there. And periodically, they will kind of switch on those mics
to see if they can get a little insight,
yeah, to see
into
if they,
what the pros are, the and, strategy. That,
and it's funny because I think they do it because they're like, oh, maybe we're going to get some good strategy from turning these mics on. And it's funny because every time I've seen it, there's never talk about strategy, really. It's like random stuff. But the big news is this past weekend, they turned on the mic and it was Anna Lee and Ben, who is notoriously the best doubles team in pro pickleball, versus Anna Bright and James Ignatowicz. And they turned on the bench mic where Ben and Anna Lee were. And Ben was caught saying, basically, referring to Anna Bright's drive, I believe. He said, it's like a Tyra drive, who is another pro women's player. But he said, it's like a Tyra drive. Her drive is crap. You can't really do anything with it. It's backspin.
This is the edited version, by the way, of what he said.
I'm giving a clean version. It's backspin. And it's like, did you even play tennis? So basically, he was caught kind of dissing Tyra's drive and indirectly also Anna Bright's drive.
Right. And what's funny is, you know, Hurricane Tyra Black wasn't even on the court. You know, this game had nothing to do with her. It's kind of interesting that it even came up. But what I'm kind of seeing out there in the forums, and people are talking about this, one, is anything going to happen? Are they going to, because Ben Johns has so much say as the best player in the world, are they going to remove the hot mics from the, you know, the pro player benches? And I've heard that PPA's come out and said they are not removing the mics. The mics are there to stay. It's kind of, you know, emulating in other sports too. They have mic'd up benches. They even have mic'd up players in some sports and games. But I think it's good. I think it's entertaining. Ben clearly didn't know that the mics were on. If you watch this back, Anna Lee actually points to the mics and like tries to like cue him that what he's saying is being recorded. And so, yeah, I mean, basically what a lot of people are talking about in the comments is like, does, because this was captured and broadcasted, does Ben owe Hurricane Tyra Black and or Anna Bright an apology because he's bashing their drive on national television or on that something that's being broadcasted? So what do you think? Does he owe them an apology?
No, I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you can think somebody's shot is bad. I'm sure people think my shots are bad here and there. Like, in the, I think you're playing a competitive sport. And I think not everybody has the most amazing everything. And I don't think he meant it maliciously or personally. And honestly, I totally don't think that Tyra's losing any sleep over it. And I don't think Ben's losing any sleep over it. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. And if you listen back to it, the context is he's basically saying, it's hard to do much with the drive because it's like so like slow and backspinny. So he wasn't even saying like, I think he was basically saying like, there's not a lot you can do with it as in terms of a counter because of the nature of it. So in some ways, maybe it's good. And also we have to remember Tyra kind of her last singles game that she ever played. She, I don't know if she ever played, but she beat Anna Lee and she's kind of not playing singles anymore. So obviously the drive's good enough to beat Anna Lee Waters in singles.
Did you see her tweet?
Yeah. 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 So she,
I thought this was so funny, you guys.
So Ben made some post about, you know, three tips on improving your game or improving your drive. No, I think it was three tips to improve your game. And Tyra like commented on it as like, any tips for improving your drive, asking for a friend.
Dude. So like, she was funny. Like, so to be honest, I don't think the pros are losing any sleep over it. I don't think that anyone deserves an apology, but I'm curious what you guys think. You know, if you saw that interaction, I would love for you guys to comment, like, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that, you know, Ben should apologize? Do you think that we should not have mics on the bench? I'm curious what you guys think.
Yeah, let us know in the comments. We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. We have a couple other little pro pickleball updates to get to as well. The next one being streaming on Grandstand Court. I've seen some people posting about this as well. If you have tuned in to Pro Pickleball, if you go to YouTube, they have a separate stream where you can watch Grandstand Court, which Grandstand is like usually next to Championship Court. And they put like, you know, some of the other top matches that aren't being played on Championship Court, they put on Grandstand. But the quality of the stream is terrible.
Dude, it looks like it was filmed on a Motorola Razr from 2010.
Yeah, it's bad.
Like it's
blurry around the edges.
I'm confused at what they're using to film it.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of like talks, like, should they even be streaming it? Like, how can they not fix that and get that better? Like, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, there's not much to say besides I'm like, dude, it like my iPhone could do better. I feel like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not, it's bad. And if you guys have seen it, please comment so we don't feel like we're crazy in saying this, but it's not good.
Yeah. I'm like, I would rather them. I mean, I get why they're streaming it. It's exposure. Players need matches recorded. You know, it's better than nothing. But I'm like, just it's got to be fixed. It kind of makes me like,
makes pickleball look bad.
Yeah, I'm like, if a non pickleball lover comes in and they come across this on YouTube, it like makes it just look like the sport's trash. So, anyways,
that last thing,
fix that PPA.
Just a side note. Last thing on Pro Pickleball, and then we're going to switch topics here. I'm going to just touch on this really briefly. So last week, if you go watch the episode, we talked about some new partnerships. One of those new partnerships was Federico Stakstrud and Hayden Patrickrin, a new partnership paired up together. Big news. They made it to Championship Sunday and won.
They didn't just win. I don't know if you... So they came up against J.W. Johnson and Dylan Frazier.
Fantastic team.
Probably what Fed said, and I would maybe agree, right now, maybe the best men's doubles team in the world. They've won the last three tournaments. Ben and Colin have been dropping games as of late, and right now, probably the best men's doubles team in the world. They beat them in three straight games, including a pickle in the last game. They had every answer. They were just winning every battle, outplaying them in their own game. So
this was Hayden's first Championship Sunday. So huge congrats to him. Long time coming. And
yeah,
it's cool. Like a first time partnership to go all the way through like that is really incredible. And if you haven't watched pro pickleball, that's really not a common thing.
Yeah. And I brought this up just, this is my personal opinion. So I'm going to give you my opinion. I think I shared this with you the other day. In my opinion, the best three men's players in the world right now. Now I'm talking men's doubles. I mean, we could talk all, even all, including all events, but I believe the best three men's players right now are Ben Johns, JW Johnson, and Federico Stackstrud. I think that they are the most consistent on the podium, and they all play the left in a way that they're really able to control the pace of the game. But I've noticed something about their game. I think if you watch their game, I'm serious.
He's so happy that he found this.
If you watch their game, they do not, I mean, every now and then they do, but they do not speed the ball up off the bounce. They are going to dink very unattackably, and they are waiting for a ball to flick or to speed up and to apply pressure out of the air. Will they speed up every now and then off the bounce? Yes. But 95% of their speed ups are out of the air. So it makes me wonder, you know, I know there's a lot of people that are starting to add spin to the ball. They're trying to backhand speed ups off the bounce. You're seeing more and more pace enter the game. But just a hot take for me, I believe the best three men's players in the world are very patient, and they wait to attack the ball out of the air. I think that's a great strategy if you're going to play a tournament. It's very easy to go in. We've even tried that, though. I think you also have to know your game style, because we've even tried to go into a tournament or a game and be like, we're not going to attack off the bounce. And yes, if it's sitting up, attack off the bounce. But I think they've figured something out. And a lot of that has to do with dinking really well, too, because if you're leaving your dinks up, the other team's going to attack out of the air. Anyways, sorry.
I'm laughing because we're talking about pro pickleball, and then we just went into our tournament experience.
No, I'm just, I don't know, I'm not trying to even talk about our tournament. I'm just saying in general, I think the best players in the world all do the same thing. They attack out of the air, and they don't attack as often off the bounce. Anyways, let's move to the next topic. We need to move on here. Okay, so our next topic, moving on, we found a Facebook post on the kitchen, and basically, I'm interested to see what you have to say on this, but this person says this: what triggers you to make unforced errors? For me, I've identified two: playing lazy or playing timid. I'm curious, and this person is asking all pickleballers, I'm curious if y'all have identified the patterns for your own mistakes. Bonus questions: how do you snap out of it? So what do you think about this? Do you know, let me ask you, what triggers you to make unforced errors in games?
I mean, I think exactly what they said.
Laziness and timidness.
Laziness and timidness. I think those are honestly the top two for me. I know when I feel like it takes me a little bit to warm up. That's been my hardest thing for tournaments, especially. It takes me almost like two games to like really get myself moving. And so I notice, you know, I make a lot of mistakes in my first, honestly, couple games, because it feels like my legs are just getting started, and maybe now I need to warm up more or something. So I know that is, and then playing timid's a huge one too. Like I notice definitely if I'm playing with, I'm trying not to make a mistake in mind, I make a ton of mistakes, versus if I'm playing and I'm thinking about my shots intentionally, like instead of thinking, I don't want to hit my return out, thinking with intention to be like, no, I want to hit my return to their backhand, right? Because it's almost like when you focus on not making mistakes, you make more mistakes. And then when you focus on what you want to happen, even if it doesn't play out exactly how you want it to happen, I feel like you make less errors, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, this person's bringing up laziness and being timid. I was going to ask you about the timidity piece. That's kind of what you're touching on there, though, is, you know, not wanting to make a mistake and playing a little timid versus hitting the spots and
hitting every shot with intention. Like every shot, I'm talking, aiming your shots, thinking about where you want it to go, going in with a plan, giving your brain a directive to go after.
Yeah. And honestly, I think for me, I think that's a big one. I do really resonate with the laziness, in the sense that when you start to get tired, your footwork starts to get a, I think I always feel like my unforced errors come back to my feet got glued to the ground. I wasn't active and didn't have good footwork because of laziness or maybe fatigue. So I feel like typically the later it gets in the day, as the further I've been playing, I have to focus on my footwork more and more, or I will make more errors. So good one. Bonus question. What do you do to snap out of it and get yourself back on track?
Yeah, I think for me, I go back to that intention thing a lot. Like if I feel like I'm making a lot of errors, sometimes I'll just be like, okay, I just need to like think about what I want to do. Also, timeouts are great. Like if you're playing a tournament, that's a good time, especially if you're starting to get emotional, to like stop getting emotional. Because the worst thing I feel like you can do when you start making mistakes is you just ruminate on it and then it affects your next 2 to 3 rallies. Like it just spills into everything. Yeah. So if you need to take a breather, take a breather.
I have a really short helps. Memory. Yeah, I like that. That's good.
What about you?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think, you know, honestly, I feel like there's something I need to work on more. I feel like I'm a little bit too much of a momentum player. I think if the momentum swings and I have some unlucky let chords or I make a couple errors in a row, it's easy to kind of let that affect my next couple shots. And I do need to maybe think about what's a good way to snap back out of it. But I think, you know, I was a baseball player. One of the things they talk to us about in baseball is the best hitters have the shortest memories. Meaning if you're a top level professional baseball player and you're batting 300, you're one of the best player batting averages in the league. 300 in the MLB is top of the top, but that means you're only getting hit 3 out of every 10 times. What about the other 7? You're failing the other 7 times. So you have to be able to have a short memory and say, I'm going to get the next one. And I think that that would carry over to pickleball.
And something, this could be like a little tip. If you guys haven't heard of this, this is a really great tool that I like to use. It's called a reset mechanism. And I heard this actually from another athlete somewhere, but basically it's like a physical and mental cue that kind of is your like, I'm going to release this. And so for me, what I do in between points is I'll go back and I'll touch my paddle to like the net or the wall behind me. And basically it's like a physical and mental cue that says, I'm overthinking about that. I'm going to think about the next shot. And you almost tell your brain, I can think about this later. I can think about that mistake later. But right now I'm going to think about this next rally. And so it's a physical mental cue. It's called a reset mechanism. So that's a little tip that you guys can take and use.
That's good. I like that. It's so funny because as you're talking about that, I was like thinking about, are there any other people like resets I see people do besides tapping the back? And I actually do see, I think
Leah Jansen does her like before she serves, she's like a reset. She's
I was actually thinking about like Ben Johns though. If you notice him, he'll take his paddle and he'll put one hand on it and he'll like rub it. And I think he's like trying to like rub the, maybe the trying to like clean it almost, but like I think that that's probably a reset.
A lot of people have some type of you'll see people will touch their hats or readjust their hats. That's one I've heard that athletes do. So there's something, and it can be kind of whatever you want, but basically it's a mental and physical cue that tells your brain, I can think about whatever later, but right now I'm going to think about this.
I think the interesting point about that is it's not just a mental cue. You know, a lot of people would think like, I'm going to have this mental cue. I'm mentally going to be strong, but it's a physical action combined with that mental reset. So guys, let us know though in the comments, do you use like a mental or physical reset cue? And then in regards to the question that we just asked, what are your identifiers of unforced errors and how do you snap out of it? Let us know in the comments, and I'm ready to move to the next one if you are.
Yeah. So this next question came from a post. I'm going to just summarize it. But basically, this person is asking, is it fair to use illegal paddles, so paddles that have been delisted in rec play and amateur tournaments? So like we said before, USA Pickleball has been delisting paddles, but that doesn't mean that everybody is getting rid of them. Like there's some people that are keeping them and they're continuing to use them. So this person's asking, well, what do we do in this case? What do we do in this case? Like, is it fair for people to be using illegal paddles if it's rec or amateur tournaments?
I love it. We're back on paddles.
I know. Come on. It's everywhere. People want to know.
Yeah, I think this is actually huge, because what do? You show up at your rec night and you're playing against somebody, or you're playing with somebody that brings a delisted paddle. Do you bring it up? I mean, clearly it's been delisted because it's said to give an unfair advantage or make the game unsafe. So, I don't know. For me, I was recently playing with a gentleman who had a Gen 3, mm-hmm. and he was on my team, and he hit a good number of returns out, volleying the ball on counters long. And so in my mind, I'm like, dude, I feel like at some point these hot paddles become a disadvantage because they're harder to control. And I think they are a weapon. They are an advantage in the hands of a top, 5-0 plus player. But if you're like 4-5 or maybe 4-0 and below, and you're playing with one of these, I think I've seen it be more of a disadvantage because you're hitting balls out and balls are sailing that it's harder to control because of the power. So that's just a side piece to the question. I think it's a little frowned upon to play. I think it's a little taboo. I also went to a park about a week ago. Some guy I was playing with had an approved paddle, a Gen 2, but it had tape around the edge guard and it made it look like a Gen 3. And everybody was like, illegal paddle. So I think that, if I had a illegal delisted paddle, I probably wouldn't play with it because I just don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with people thinking that it's illegal and thinking that I'm cheating. Like, that's just not worth it to me. I don't know what about
you. Yeah, I mean, I think, I'll speak to the amateur tournament. I think that's definitely frowned upon. You just really shouldn't show up. Even if it's not a USA sanctioned tournament, I don't think that you should show up and play with an illegal paddle. I just think that's bad sportsmanship, in my opinion. Now, rec play is a little bit harder, right? Because that's not an official event. But I think out of courtesy, I don't think I would use it either. Like, if something was, like, I try to think about it in my mind. Like, for example, if you showed up to baseball with a corked bat, I just feel like it's not fair. I don't know.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, if I'm going to find, if I'm going to empathize at all with the Gen 3ers out there or with the illegal paddle users out there, it's that, some of these people might have spent a lot of money on this. And I know that there's refunds that are being offered, but what if it's their only paddle that they have at the moment? What if their previous, ask to use somebody else's.
You know that there are people that aren't sending it back on purpose, because you can send it back and get a full refund.
I know, but what if it takes 2 weeks to get a paddle back and you can't play pickle for 2 weeks?
Dude, how many times have you showed up without a paddle and people have extra paddles?
Yeah, fair. I'm just saying, if I'm going to, I am in the camp that I would not use these at amateur or rec night events. I'm in that camp, but I'm just trying to find, I'm trying to like advocate for the other guy a little bit and say, I see where you're coming from. I've actually seen a lot of people in the comments that are like, definitely Gen 3ers, or they're like, they have an illegal paddle and they're like, I don't know why people are worried about it. It's not that much different.
I was going to ask you, because I've gotten that comment a ton. I've done a lot of like content on this.
I'm like, if there's not that much different, then don't play with it.
Then why are you freaking out that it's still like delisted? If it's not that much different, play with your Gen 2.
Yeah. That's
like,
what I'm saying.
It's interesting to me that everyone's up in arms and they're like, it's not that different. I'm like, well, then why are you so mad about it?
Yeah. People are, it's clear the people out there that are like, I don't care about it. I love mine. Well, of course you love yours.
Of course. Like,
anyways, I'm like, there's obviously biases. Yeah. There's biases.
You know where we stand.
And honestly, maybe I would have a different opinion if I purchased this paddle prior to it being delisted. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe. And here's the thing. If you purchased it and let's say you got used to playing with it and you were playing well with it, yeah, I'm sure I'd be like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. But you guys,
do you think any of these people out there, like, that purchased it right before it got delisted, now before they go purchase their next paddle, they're like, they're a little like worried, like, well, is this one gonna get delisted? Like, I don't know. It's just interesting. This thing's gonna settle, but right now there's companies falling like flies. Like, there's like
falling paddles falling like
paddles from companies. Yeah. But anyways, it's interesting. So let us know what you guys think. I've been keeping up with some of y'all's responses, and some of you are very vocal about this. So
Bert's getting in fights, the internet fights.
I am not getting in internet fights. I try to stay out of that as much as I can. I have typed out a few responses to people and then hit the delete button a couple times. But let us know, is it fair to play with an illegal or delisted paddle at just your local rec night? Is that okay with you?
What do you think? Comment below.
Okay, so those are our topics for the day. But before you go anywhere, we do have some Q&A, and we have been asking in all of our episodes, if you guys have questions you want us to answer, let us know in the comments. Type your question right into the YouTube comments or wherever you're watching this podcast, and we would love to get to them. So we had a question come in from our last episode. If you haven't seen our last episode, go check it out. It's really good. But we had a question come in here, and I'm going to read it, get your thoughts, and then, yeah, what do you think about this? So this person says, I'll throw a question out. When is it acceptable to give unsolicited advice to other players on the court? I'm a lower level intermediate player, and sometimes during rec games, teammates will constantly give unsolicited advice. Mm. I think it's kind of annoying. It's okay to take advice from a coach during a coaching session, but from a player who you just met, who's probably only a little better than you during a game and who may actually be giving you bad advice, how do we gently tell them to stop giving us advice without making it awkward? Of course, when we want advice, you can directly ask for it. But for the most, most of the time, I assume we just want to play. Does this happen to anyone else?
Yes.
A lot of questions right there. So,
okay, here's my take on the unsolicited advice. I totally get what this guy's saying. I've also been a victim of unsolicited advice from people that probably shouldn't be giving advice.
What do you mean by that? Like, who shouldn't be giving you advice?
Like, it's interesting. I've played pickleball for a couple years now, and like, I'll have people that will say certain things where I'm like, that's wrong. I should not do that. You know? And here's what I have to remember. Everyone is typically trying to help. I have to remind myself that people are trying to be, they're not trying to be annoying, even though it might be annoying, right? They're not trying to be malicious, even though it actually might come off negative and mean. I kind of always go into the camp now that, you know, I'm a higher level player. I really don't give a ton of advice to people that I play with, even if things are kind of rough, unless I know them really well and they're trying to get better and I know that they want to get better, then typically I'll say like, hey, do you want some advice before I give advice? And honestly, when people are like, sure, like, and you say it like that, people are really receptive and they like that. I've been in a position where, you know, I remember when I played with Travis Rettenmeyer, who's a local pro here, I asked him for advice after our games. And I've been in clinics with like other high level players or pros and asked them for advice. And so I'm somebody, if I want advice, I'll usually ask for it. I hate... This is my pet peeve. I hate when people point out something I do wrong in a match because I'm like, dude, I know I hit an out ball. You don't need to tell me I hit an out ball. Like, that's, it's just such a vibe killer. Or like, it just makes me so mad. I'm like, yeah, even don't point out my mistakes. I know that I did that. That's not helpful advice.
The unsolicited advice sometimes is like, that's not advice. That's just a critique.
It's just so annoying, dude.
But I think the issue with unsolicited advice is unsolicited advice doesn't come after you make a good shot. You know, when people give unsolicited advice, it's after you make an error. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, no one's like, you hit a amazing winner ATP and they're like, hey, can I give you some advice? Like, it's usually you miss an ATP. Hey, can I give you some advice? Like, so.
Well, it's not even, hey, can I give you some advice? It's literally telling you advice that people rarely ask.
I think you also have to understand, like, maybe the relational equity you have with somebody. Like, are you playing with somebody that you know really well? Are you playing with somebody that is a friend? I don't know. Giving unsolicited advice to like a random person who's not asking for it, it's just like,
don't do it.
Who do you think you are? You know,
like, I'll save you socially right now. Don't do that.
Yeah. And again, I'm like, I'm never one, even if I'm like, you're asking for it, maybe I'll give you a little bit, but I'm never one to want to give advice during a game. I think it's best served. Have I maybe given someone advice during a game before? Yeah. But I think it's best served in between matches, or like, it's just much, I don't know. You want to protect that partner chemistry as much as you can. Dude. And I totally get what this person's saying. So this person's like asking, how do you gently tell them to stop without making it awkward? And
I think you got to make it awkward and you got to just be like, hey, I'm good. No, seriously. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
that's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you just like look at him and you say, you know, hey man, I know you're trying to give me some advice. Like, maybe let's talk after the game. I think I just want to focus on my shots right now. And, you know, I'm not trying to mess up.
Yeah. So, I think you just stand up for yourself.
Yeah, that's good. Come on. I like that. Just stand up for yourself.
Stand up for yourself.
Okay. Let us know, guys, in the comments.
How do you deal with unsolicited advice?
Or have you been a victim of unsolicited advice on the court from somebody who's maybe not even as good as you?
Should not be giving advice.
Yeah. Some people are just like natural coaches.
Stop. You know? No one's not. No. Natural coach means they're good at it.
No, it's like they think that they can coach everything that they do. They're a coach.
They're the expert. Okay.
Anyways. Well, guys, I think that's a wrap. Thanks so much for hanging.
Hey, last thing.
Okay.
If you guys have questions for next week, type them in the comments. So we have some questions to answer. That's all.
Okay. Love it. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, guys, on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection. We will see you on the next one.